love.
Just listen to the rhythm of my heart. I believe we can make it now. We'll be rocking till the sun come down. I believe I think I'll love.
Oh my God, you guys.
Guitar.
What are you guys fucking doing?
So ABBA's really a guilty pleasure of mine. I really liked Mamma Mia. It was fucking fantastic.
I've never seen that movie.
Mamma
you really
Mia.
Should. You really should.
I'm sorry Here that I did not again. See it before you have.
Welcome back to the Darker Side Podcast. This is a podcast where we delve into the darker side of our existences. The morbid, the macabre, the spooky, and the absurd are all fair game as we discuss murder, UFOs, cryptids, creepypasta, the paranormal, and the dark depravity of the human soul. I am David, and with me as always is Forrest, Rachel, and John. How are we on this fine May the 15th?
Storming.
Stormy evening, everybody.
Very stormy.
Fantastic.
We're recording this during a, what do they call them? Severe thunderstorm.
It's a weather event. Yeah, we're having a weather event.
I believe we're also in a tornado watch.
Oh, we are.
9 p.m. this evening.
And we live in New England, people.
If I go to Oz, I'm going to slap the Tin Man right on his shiny little metal ass.
I mean, as horrible as thunderstorms are, driving through one while having something blasted in your car is like the best thing ever.
Oh, I think it's the scariest fuck, but I can see what's going on.
It's very scary. You know, where I grew up, though, when you're in Philly, it's near the Delaware River. Every storm is severe.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
everyone.
In North Carolina when I was there,
everyone.
It was crazy.
And, like, if you get a tornado warning, it's not just a, oh, there might be a tornado over, like, in that part of the town. It's like, you're going to have a tornado. Take cover. It's gonna come through.
Mm. Take warning.
It was basically every weekend for me in North Carolina when I was, like, 3 to 10 years old. So.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I can't imagine.
During the summer, it was crazy. And then if you get a quarter inch of ice in the winter,
oh,
they close
yeah.
school for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, catch 20, whatever. All right, guys. Well, let's get into our first segment. Today in History, Darker Side Edition. Again, as I said, it is May 15th, 2018. And these are some interesting and possibly dark things that happened on today's date in history. In 1252, Pope Innocent IV issues a papal bull ad extrapanda. I'm not really sure what that means. I didn't look up the
Latin. Believe it means he's not that innocent.
Interesting. It probably is. Which authorizes but also limits the torture of heretics in the medieval Inquisition. So that would make sense. Your translation of it, John.
I'm sorry?
You said your translation of it would make sense.
I'm not that innocent? Yeah. That's actually Britney Spears' translation, I believe.
She's a queen. She's a queen.
In 1536, Anne Boleyn, Queen of England, stands trial in London as on charges of treason, adultery, and incest. She is condemned to death by a specially selected jury. She was a queen.
So her problem was she was married to Henry VIII, and she couldn't bear children.
Yes.
because she couldn't bear children, she was married to a king. She was, you know, given
the old get out of here. I need a new wife.
Thing. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Of course.
My God.
Several many wives for
straight
Henry
men.
VIII. Yeah. Well, he's also that entire lineage, the English. Family line is completely demented thanks to constant European inbreeding amongst aristocracy and the royal families across Europe. They all interbred. It's no lie. There is absolute historical evidence supporting all of that.
I believe it.
You've seen Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that should happen. 1718, James Puckle, a London lawyer, patents the world's first. What kind of gun do you think he patented, John?
James Puckle.
In 1718.
The revolver.
Machine gun.
The machine gun. I thought Gatlin patented the machine gun. Gatlin. I thought that was...
Yeah,
that was
James
his.
Puckle did it, I think, earlier in 1718.
Interesting.
In 1776, our wee country here, our 13 colonies, the American Revolution, the 5th Virginia Convention instructs its Continental Congress delegation to propose a resolution of independence from Great Britain.
Oh, nice.
Paving the way for the United States Declaration of Independence.
Holla.
Yeah, wow. We're almost there. And we got like less than a month and a half before we actually declare our independence.
Oh, yeah.
Woohoo, America! Go, yay. America! Yay! in 1817, opening of the first private mental health hospital in the United States, the asylum. And this really gets me.
Arkham Asylum.
The back then, they weren't. They were. I think they were more PC about the names of these places than like people aren't, like, I don't know.
Did you just say the Arkham Asylum?
No, it's called the Asylum for the Relief of Persons Deprived of the Use of Their Reason. What? So, I mean, oh, that's God. Pretty PC, right? I mean,
what the fuck?
You can't get any more. It's like, and then eventually it just became, yeah, this is a mental hospital.
I've been deprived of my use of reason for so long.
Wow. That's, shrooms will do that for you.
Even my mama thinks that my mind is gone.
Oh, good Lord. And that was in, it's now the Friends Hospital in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Friends.
Oh, you know what? I think I saw that when I went down there for New Year's.
You probably, I mean, it's right there.
It's a tourist attraction.
It probably is now. Yeah, I mean, it was the first mental health facility.
I have lots of pictures and video.
Private mental health facility. In 1815, the Bloody Island Massacre takes place in Lake County, California, in which a large number of the Pomo Indians are slaughtered by a regiment of the United States Cavalry.
Yep.
You know, we did that a lot across the nation. And that one just, you know, just another one of those awesome things that happened. Manifest destiny. 1905, Las Vegas is founded when 110 acres in what later would become downtown are auctioned off.
Hmm. By the mafia, right? The mafia sort
they
of
the mafia. Basically
bought a place where they're like, we can bring water into here. And they built downtown Las Vegas, which we all know is the, probably from space, the most well-lit city in all of the world.
Probably.
I don't know. Somebody prove me wrong. Hashtag meme, prove me wrong. In 1974, a Malot massacre, members of the Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine attacked and take hostages at Israel school. A total of 31 people are killed, including 22 children. And I mean, look at the turmoil that's still going on. How many years later? That was 74. We're in 2018, 44 years ago.
So there's three books, right? And there's...
What?
And then there's one place in all three of these books.
All three books, one place.
All three books, one place.
One place. And they all want that place. Because that's where their book tells them that they belong.
Right, in that one place.
Yeah, in that place. Yeah, with the one book.
So, in 2008, so we're going to skip a lot of years here, but in 2008, Forrest, this one's right up your alley.
Okay.
California becomes the second U.S. state after Massachusetts in 2004 to legalize same-sex marriage after the state's own Supreme Court rules a previous ban unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Cool.
Even though that's just extremely sad, but it's awesome that they got...
Massachusetts, of all the states, I mean,
Massachusetts invented freedom.
Well did you know? True. Did you know what?
Else? Some people would say Philadelphia, or you know, New York.
They'd be wrong.
I would think Philly.
They'd be wrong. They definitely would be.
I don't know. I guess I'd maybe think Philly. Maybe.
Oh, good Lord.
Think of Bell. That's it. That's it. And the bell's tiny. It's heartbreaking.
And it's cracked.
When you see it.
Some stupid fucker cracked it. They let somebody crack the Liberty Bell.
Go also, if you're 12 years old, maybe a little fat kid wearing glasses, and you go up and you touch the Liberty Bell, they throw you right out, and your teacher has to go out with you and tell you how you're not supposed to touch
the
Liberty
Bell.
They
told me that. Yeah. They told me that in middle school. Yeah. It was ridiculous. The first state, I believe, in 2003, I might actually bring this up for discussion in the future. The first state in about, I think, 03, 04, under the Bush Jr. administration, Bush Jr.
W.
The first state, the first state that legalized bestiality with human beings and animals, the reason for it, while LGBT marriage was still illegal in like 95% of the country.
Well, there's a few states that still have legal bestiality laws.
The first state, I believe, was that, believe it or not, what I thought was New York and New Jersey.
Oh, interesting.
That was Today in History, Darker Side Edition. We're going to move on now to our news stories, and I'm going to let Rachel go first.
Alrighty, guys. So,
alrighty then.
I'm sure most of you have heard this because it's quite hilarious. Tragedy strikes Poland as a truck spills tons of liquid chocolate.
Chocolate.
Across a four-lane highway, so two lanes going in either direction. A tractor-trailer carrying 12 tons of chocolate Milky, milky chocolate.
2,400 pounds of chocolate.
Did they clean up the Hershey Highway?
Oh, it took a very, very long time. So what happened was they don't really know. It doesn't. None of the articles I found really knows what happened and how he landed this way. But the trucker tipped right across the median that separates the two sides of highways.
How does that happen?
That's what
he was really stoned, and he's like, "I got all these pretzels. Wait a minute!" And just crashes the thing, and he's like,
pretty
"He's
much.
Dipping pretzels into it." He's like, "I don't know what happened. Crunch
with the road delicious. Shit mixed into it." Ugh.
And because it was such a nice, warm spring day, the chocolate began to melt and harden simultaneously. they said it took hours to remove the chocolate via hot water spraying. But wow. I would have gladly flown over and just grabbed a straw.
Yeah, just
sucked it all up.
Oh, yeah.
I would have just removed it with my tongue. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a salt lick.
Have you guys seen, like, the first day this story was on Facebook? Almost everybody said it was fake. Like, almost everybody.
Why would you even think it's a fake? I mean, that shit happens all the time. Like, you know, there was a truck accident right off the highway over here where fucking lobsters. People...
It's all that.
Picked up lobsters.
And they were going nuts night. For that. Yeah. Just like, free lobster.
And like, yeah. just scrolling down the comments. It's just everyone saying fake, fake, fake. I'm like, really?
Hashtag fake news.
Hashtag fake news. Yeah, so that's my quick and sweet little story that I have for you.
What were you pointing at me for?
You're going to have to edit this out. But I believe the lobsters that were taken from that truck were then sold at the local restaurant. Okay, and therefore... Local restaurant.
That was well in the news. That was
Yes.
You can keep that in now.
And not to name names, but Periwinkle's got into a lot of trouble for selling the lobsters.
Yeah, I'm so glad you didn't say any names.
No, no names. No names, Periwinkle's.
Well, good thing they changed it to J.D. Anthony's.
Yes, J.D. Anthony's. Street lobster.
Oh, street lobster. All right, Forrest, do you have a news story for us today, don't you? After he takes a sip of his drink.
Sorry. Hell yeah, I do. I gotta
hydrate.
Hydrate. Thank you, Rachel.
Hydration's important.
It is.
Hell yeah, guys. Drink your water in the morning.
It's water.
It's the most important meal of the day.
As soon as you wake up in the morning, drink a glass of water. Brush your teeth.
Brush teeth.
Sorry, I'm just translating for you all.
Maybe
there.
Comb your eyebrows.
He did say water twice.
Comb your eyebrows in the morning.
What? Water?
Yeah. What do you got for us, Forrest?
Okay, sorry, I don't want to go off track. DEA. Okay, so this is a story.
Yes.
This is a story from marijuanamovement. .net. I know it sounds extremely unsourceful, but it actually is very resourceful. It has a lot of almost everything's true in there. I fact checked it. DEA acting administrator Robert Patterson told congressional lawmakers with a straight face on Tuesday, "I am aware of a few deaths from marijuana."
Yeah,
I saw that. I saw that video. And then, like, the weird fucking thing is like, he finally backtracked a little bit more into it, where he's like, "Well, I know of deaths that were associated with marijuana.
So my friend's sister's nephew's brother's kid smoked a bunch of dope and he went fucking swimming.
Happens to be drunk.
No, you know, it was over. And the person who was interviewing him at the time, like, gave literally was like, "So you know of incidents where people died of a marijuana overdose?"
Who can afford it?
He's like, "Yeah, I've heard of a couple instances that were related to marijuana deaths." No, he's like, "I'm saying, have you ever heard of a marijuana overdose death?" And he's like, "Well, no, I didn't." And then
but
I have heard of a couple incidences where marijuana was involved.
Trump's
with
secret kid smoked weed and died while watching cartoons. That happened. Maybe. Look it up on your Googles.
Sure, it'll be on SNL.
I'm sure. So, yeah, I mean, that was a ridiculous thing. I mean, he's just a part of that movement that doesn't want cannabis to be legalized on a higher level. They can control certain populations and certain people, and, you know, just completely. You know,
and keep in mind, too,
not allow us some of our freedoms, basically.
Big pharmaceutical companies also play a part in that.
Yep, absolutely. They do. And keep in mind that this hearing wasn't even about that.
Yeah,
but that happens to be the fucking headline of the whole meeting. the meeting technically was about the opioid epidemic, which he only answered a few questions out of the several dozen asked.
Of course. You know.
Opioids. Marijuana's bad.
Yeah, exactly. They're totally on the same line, especially when there's studies showing us that legal cannabis industries create situations where opioid addiction and drug use drop.
Mm-hmm.
And there are studies being provided to us on almost on a daily basis.
Oregon,
from these,
right? Or Washington? Or Colorado. Colorado,
even here in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, right?
It drops drastically. I mean, it's a huge percent.
I think I've said this before, too, but I believe I've read it. It's 72% drop in antidepressant and anti-anxiety medications.
Yeah, which is huge anyway.
Boom.
Since recreational marijuana.
Personally, I don't take depression anxiety meds because I've tried it. And yes, I tried it past the trial period where it's like supposed to be awful anyway.
But either way.
And it just taking medicine, maybe Adderall ruined it for me because I took it for like 9 years straight at the 24-hour level
from my
parents because of my ADD.
So now you use cannabis, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because I don't like taking medicine.
You should all just trip the fuck out on shrooms, and it just brings your mind into this beautiful little place where you can kind of control whatever the fuck was bothering you and be like, well, that's the hologram reality I got to walk around in, but this shit's real, and then... Yeah. Delicious.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, Forrest, great news story, man. Excellent. All right, I've got a news story here, and this one, it comes from deadstate.org, but a Christian woman blames abortion for Toys R Us going out of business.
Fucking A.
I mean, of course.
Just right? Like, I mean, that's like what normals. I was thinking as soon as I read that.
It's not even a quantum leap. If Toys R Us, boom, abortion, bam. Done.
Connection is there.
Just like millennials are the reason why it's going
to millennial abortions are the reason Toys R Us no longer sells Legos.
And I like that. Millennial abortion.
Millennial abortion.
After being in business for more than 70 years, Toys R Us is closing its doors, as we all know, in New England. Yep. And mostly, I think there are a few other stores across the nation.
I know of people.
It's the biggest toy stores out there.
I hate to interrupt you, but I know of people who go to stores, like, I know, not the one in Auburn, but there's one somewhere else in Mass. Everything's like 95% off.
Yeah, everything. I mean, right now, for sure.
And then they sell it on eBay like 20 times the price.
Yeah.
Of course they do.
Yeah, well, that's the best. That's how you go to the dollar store and then sell shit on there for $5.
Ain't that America.
Make money.
Yeah.
Most would agree that online businesses like Amazon are contributing to the shuttering of specialty brick and mortar stores across the country. But according to one woman, the actual reason for the toys giant going out of business is much more sinister. In a letter to the editor of the News Gazette of Central Illinois, Mandy Ellman says that the company would still be in business today if there were no abortions.
So this lady mailed a letter to a news company
I mean, it was a letter to the editor section.
Letter to the editor.
My God.
Yeah. She totally. And then it says, let's see here. Companies' leaders attributed decreased business to a number of factors, including the declining birth rate, Allman wrote. Abortion and the declining birth rate are intricately connected.
No.
So, therefore, abortions equal.
Counterpoint, if you have a lot of children, like a shitload, because you're not going to wrap it up and you're not going to have an abortion, you have 75 children, you can't buy a single toy. You can't buy shit.
No.
You're lucky if you can buy like some government cheese and maybe a little bit of Kool-Aid. No sugar, but you can get the Kool-Aid. You can't.
Unless you're like that
fucking
what is
Legos.
That religious family who had a TV show.
The Duggars.
They had a huge contracting business.
Yes.
I mean, massive contracting business.
We should dive deeper into the Duggars. There's a lot there.
Oh my God.
We could do a Duggars.
I would love to do one on, like, especially on what's done with people who abuse, you know.
I'm not going the apostate type of. That's a dark. I don't know.
I'm dark.
Maybe
as fuck.
Someday.
So anyway, abortions and toys.
I have to say, in college.
Ari and Herman, you got a story here that happened, I think, this week, right?
I do. The title is Native American Brothers with Metal Shirts Are Taken Off of College Campus Tour by the Police.
What?
Thomas. And I cannot pronounce their middle name, so I'm just going to call them Thomas Gary, and I apologize for my whiteness, Tom. Mm. And Lloyd Gary, they're 19 and 17 respectively. They drove 7 hours from Santa Cruz, California to New Mexico to tour the... from Santa Cruz, New Mexico to Colorado State University in Fort Collins to tour the campus there. The brothers are Mohawk tribe Native Americans. And one of them was wearing a shirt from Cattle Decapitation. The other was wearing a shirt from Arcus Fire.
Nice.
On their tour. When they embarked on the campus tour, a woman saw them and said they were definitely not part of the tour. Evidently, their metalhead clothing and their general non-whiteness were cause for alarm for this lady. And she did say that they were definitely not part of the tour, that their clothing represented, quote, dark stuff, and that they were lying and gave fake names. Hmm. This is what she said in her 911 call.
Wow.
So, a 911 call?
Her 911 call.
On a college tour.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So when the two gentlemen were taken by the police, of course, and the college campus, the college president went on a rant basically saying how this is an open and inclusive campus, and we accept people of all races, gender identities, orientations, cultures, religions, heritage, and appearances. They all belong here.
All good.
What's good to note is that Cattle Decapitation did offer the gentleman free tickets for life.
Freaking
should they want to see a show.
That's amazing.
That story really bothered me on a massive level.
Happens every day. Every day.
The place that these people were visiting, this school, is literally on their ancestral lands. It's like...
No shit.
It's on their ancestral lands.
Yep.
This school was built on their people's land. And like... It's just like unbelievable that in today's day we can't just accept every shade of human skin. Yeah. It's unbelievably ridiculous to me.
It is so fucking ridiculous.
So stupid. And then you make a call because they're metalheads. They're kids that have slightly darker skin because they're native persons who live in a well-lit area. They live in Arizona. They've got darker skin. It's built into them inherently, and they do. And then you get a call because they look spooky and scary, and you're...
No, she had to call 911.
Yeah, your so crazy, ridiculous ideals can't accept somebody of a different color and somebody who might have a shirt that with indecipherable lettering on it.
I don't think I would live there.
Anyway, Cattle Decapitation is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Let's just
woot woot, metal horns up.
Fuck yeah. And Dave, I want to ask you, isn't Arizona in general one of the lowest in the country for education?
They'd be from New Mexico, right?
Oh, they were from New Mexico. Yeah. I didn't mean to say Arizona. I meant New Mexico. Either way, they're...
Yeah, they're both.
Well-lit areas of the country.
Sunny. Southwest.
Yeah.
Good meth down there. Lots of meth.
Lots of meth.
Yeah. All right, well, that is our Darker Side News stories for the day.
Fuck yeah.
I think some fun stuff there for sure. Right now, we are going to do the Darker Side movie review.
Boom.
Dun, dun, dun.
This week, and everybody's going to blame me for this.
Yep.
I picked a wonderful film.
My wife hates you for this.
It's all right.
She wants it too?
Oh, yeah.
His wife hates him too.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a 2015 joint. Directed by a Richard Craner. The movie is called Starleaf.
Ugh.
Starleaf. And you can find it on the...
Prime. Or is that Amazon Prime?
Yeah. Amazon Prime.
Oh, good Lord.
You can rent it if you don't have it, I think, or something like that.
The tagline on the actual poster was, "Some highs are out of this world."
Oh, Jesus Christ. If Starleaf was walking on a campus, I'd call 911. I'm just saying.
Starleaf is a science fiction thriller about three friends who find a forest of extraterrestrial marijuana hidden deep in the Olympic Mountains. That's really all I need to say about that. It gets ridiculous. It is poorly filmed, in my opinion, Forrest.
Epic storyline.
Oh, very basic storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically set up like a giant commercial with a feel-good ending. But even if you think about that feel-good ending, it's still a weak ending.
Yes.
Rachel, what did you think of the film?
You're being really nice.
I am. You're being really nice.
That's how I feel.
I... Oh my God. Oh, I don't Rachel, even I don't even know here how to go. Describe this. It's like vomit.
It's like a sour taste in your mouth.
There's so many stoner stereotype references and the production value was awful.
Using these negative gay jokes.
Oh.
Those did bother me.
That was so stereotypical. Army guy who was away for like 5 or 10 years or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then comes home and's like, oh, you like gay people now. What the fuck's wrong with you?
Or has, yeah. And then like his friend won't accept that he has PTSD and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So what else would you love about it, Rachel?
Oh, the acting. Whoever played that chick, I just wanted to strangle her.
She's a she. She's a female. She's not a chick, Rachel.
Whatever, the broad. All right. So, I just like the acting.
I wonder
was
whose dick she sucked.
Subpar.
Ooh.
She yes, probably
knows probably the
did.
Director, Richard Kanner.
Casting couch.
Yeah. Casting couch. So, you know, the black couch with a white wall. Look, my girlfriend just sent me a picture for her job interview.
Oh, good Lord.
I'm so happy for her.
So, Forrest, what did you think of this? We'll get back to Rachel later.
I'm just too, angry about it.
To sum it all up, I mean, I would call it a very bittersweet, shitty fucking movie. Like, I was entertained the whole way through, nonstop. Like, I could not stop watching. But I feel like most of their budget was spent on that, that introduction animated video.
I think it was spent on the Asian fairy porn stars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Rachel's like, you don't like Asian fairy porn? And I'm like, I didn't even know it existed until right now.
So, and what did I say?
I don't know. I forget.
It does now.
It does now.
So I Googled Asian fairy porn and something completely different came up.
You stumbled into some.
I did. It was kind of like. It was kind of like when somebody said, you should check out Lemon Party.
Oh my God. I would say overall, I liked it. But I mean, the bad quality was there. The scripting made me laugh. Like that 8-minute scene in the beginning where they're in the car driving in Washington, they just keep cutting to like all these aerial shots that they obviously shot with some amateur.
They also used those individual shots 73,000 more times on a rotation through the movie.
Yeah.
there was no original. There was four aerial shots and close up, like, you know. Sky shots or B-roll from above the mountains.
They did rent a quadcopter for like an afternoon. Definitely they went with it.
I feel like I was just watching like a revamp of like the marketing of like the newest Blair Witch movie that just came out, which was not a bad movie.
It's an interesting thing that you say something about marketing. John, what did you think of this this film?
Okay, so has anyone ever cooked pudding on the stovetop?
Correct.
Stovetop pudding.
Yeah. So, do you know how when you put the stovetop pudding, the delicious pudding? You know when you put the pudding in the refrigerator,
missed out fire,
and it hardens, right? And you get that skin on top of the pudding.
I love pudding skin.
Yeah,
I
the pudding skin's pudding the best. Skin. Have you ever sat there and watched that whole process? I feel like that would have been more entertaining.
Seriously? I couldn't look away. It was bad. But I mean that in a bad way.
I get you. It's like when everybody's rubbernecking and you're kind of driving slow. Like, what are they looking at?
I wanted to walk away as soon as I started it. And then Rachel, she's like, because we both individually started it. And then I missed 20 minutes of it and then caught up where she was.
I didn't miss much.
I didn't need to.
Can I give you guys my wife's review?
She hates me.
It was, fuck you, Dave.
I felt like it was such an epic story, but it was such a shitty movie.
I think the concept could turn into something potentially amazing. Yeah. However, it's ruined now.
Rachel can't handle the fact that those grays.
The freaking aliens. Ugh.
The aliens drove her nuts.
So this was a marketing
thing. It was a marketing thing.
So I'm holding up an article from Ganjapreneur, which is where I get all of my hard-hitting news. Right. Al Jazeera, Ganjapreneur. I don't know MSNBC, but definitely Ganjapreneur.
NPR.
You can trust NPR and Ganjapreneur to give you the hard-hitting real fact.
Nice.
Yeah.
We want facts.
But basically, this article says that Richard Connor, who is the creator and director of Starleaf.
Craner.
Craner. whatever his name is. Sorry, Richard Craner. Please send us as much of your product as you can. We'd love to try it out.
Please, yeah. Check us out.
Hashtag. And, you are brilliant for making a shitty movie to sell your pot.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was funny. I laughed and I chuckled and I was like, oh, that was good.
I'm not going to lie. If this guy were to decide, not let's gonna drink lie. On it. Everybody. Let's drink on
yep,
it.
Yep, boom.
That's hell our yeah. first one, I think.
So he is marketing Starleaf branded cannabis products based on this movie. And not only is he doing that, but he's doing a YouTube series and the sequel, Boys, is coming out.
Oh, my God.
He's doing a sequel.
Oh, this is marketing like you read about. This is Ain't That America across the board. So enjoy your counterculture. It is just the culture that you were born into.
Absolutely.
You know what? I bet you that the second, if he makes a second one, it'll probably go to theaters.
Oh, no doubt.
No. I don't think so.
No, nope, I think it will.
So? You think so?
Yeah, I'll put money on that.
Oh, okay.
$1 right now. I'll shake on it.
$1.
They have to, of course.
Legal bet.
Okay.
Witness.
I mean, of course, to make a movie go to theaters, you have to pay like a shitload of money. You do. It's a lot of
course,
money.
Of course.
To get distribution, even in just like 10 cities across the U.S.
Yeah, but this was a brilliant.
I'll donate to their GoFundMe if they make it better.
This was a brilliant hour, 15-minute ad.
Yeah,
we can follow them.
For some really interesting ganja.
Can I tell you that they used real marijuana in this movie, and he said,
seriously,
yes, he said
it looks fake, to be honest.
It does, but he said that, and I quote, I had to have actual weed in the film since fake cannabis plants range at about $400 each.
Jesus
with
Christ.
Our low budget, that was out of the question. So they actually used real marijuana, and for that I give them props.
Dude, that's amazing.
Dude, beautiful.
And that
plants.
Budget was low.
I give this guy
they
props.
Were scraggly. I've grown better this plants is, in a closet in college.
This is probably a budget I fucking could do.
Yeah, that was probably somebody's, like, legal outdoor garden that they used and then just filtered it with that dark light that they used for the nighttime light.
Can I just fucking say, they could have cut that car scene down, like...
I think that was one of the most compelling parts.
We're in a death trap.
Yeah, we're in a death trap.
It was, like, from minute, like, 3 to minute, like, 11. Come on, guys. Like, just cut it.
What I really enjoyed, and I cannot lie.
Yeah.
I didn't
Mazel
say.
Tov. I don't care.
It's an excuse drink to drink.
Hell yeah.
No, I really liked the bro hug at the end.
Yes.
Like, I'm not mad at you.
I've been dying to hear that, bro.
Exactly like Herman said.
Dude, this would be
pat on the back. And then go put fist bump, you know, chest bump away from each other, and then back in the car and out of there. I mean, that was pretty rad. You have to. Yeah, we're not going to ruin any of it, but check it out.
There's really not much to ruin.
You cannot ruin
it's
this
weed,
movie.
It's sexy, horrible.
It's heteronormative, yeah.
What is that funny lighting bullshit that they were doing?
Oh, the freaking, they were doing, like, very cheap.
There was a weird
effects.
Split-second lesbian scene that didn't actually need to exist. They're just, like, they cut to this other woman, and then two women made out for, like, a hot second, and then they're just, like, you had to blink. I actually paused it. I was like, did I just see that, or am I, like, trying to make this more interesting in my brain?
I didn't see that.
That's amazing.
But that's interesting. Hmm. All right, so I'm gonna give you my grading on this. It's going to be 4.
Out of?
4 out of 3... trillion blipper dopper. Okay.
Ooh.
Somebody
bing,
just
bing,
the,
bang.
The virus database bing, has bing, been updated.
Oh, the darker PC.
Yeah, the darker PC.
Look at me, I have an update.
I'm gonna give it 4 out of what I said earlier.
Bajingle boppers.
Yeah,
whatever they're called.
It was entertaining, but I wouldn't say it was spectacular. It was a great hour, 15-minute advertisement
for
somebody's weed.
Yeah. I'm going to give my score, as well as my 4 words.
Yes, ma'am.
Not worth a rating.
Oh, damn.
Oh, shit, girl. With the snapping fingers.
Yeah.
Shaniqua, don't live here no more.
All right.
Hell yeah. I'll drink on that.
All right, Forrest, what do you give it for a score, bro?
I'm going to, just to be a little bit more descriptive, just in case people didn't understand my rating system beforehand, out of 10, which is like IMDb, you know, kind of like Rotten Tomatoes and decimals, I would give it a solid 5.5 out of 10.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very, very
that's
liberal
solid.
Of you.
It was a movie. It wasn't, in Forrest's opinion, it was a movie.
I give the director props mainly for the reason that in a way it's cinema quality, But it isn't.
It's in a way. There's a big quotation.
Manipulation.
Type of, you know, parentheses there.
I give him props.
Johnny Frere Jacques, as I like to say.
I'm going to say, if you want to watch a badly filmed movie that is just fantastic for no reason, go watch Bubba Hotep.
While You're High.
That
is a great movie.
Bubba Hotep is a great movie.
But it was filmed with like $9, and it's fantastic.
Blair Witch Project, $5,000.
Blair Witch Project made me throw up in the theater.
Oh, dude, that was a bad one.
Yeah.
I think it's because we were in the second row when we saw it live
for
the first time.
What is wrong with you guys?
Last seats available, dude.
I believe
three high school stoners who showed up late to a fucking sold out movie.
How can you hate that movie?
Because it literally made
us
sick.
The weed wasn't that good back then. I mean, I don't know if you ever smoked weed in the 90s. You know, it really weighed you down.
I'm going to have to put this movie on the list. Looks like we're going to have to review it.
Oh, I would like to watch it again, I think, for sure.
And we probably should watch the modern sequel. That just came out.
Why not, right?
Man.
It was all right.
All right, so what do you give it for a score, an actual score, John?
So purely from a business student capitalism standpoint, I give it a solid 3 because I love that he's using it to sell his weed.
Yeah. Oh, yep.
I said it. It's, I love that. I have an MBA, dude. You want to hire me, man? I will give you a 10.
Or you want to donate on her.
That is fantastic.
Dude.
What you're doing, keep doing it. Send me a shirt. I'll wear it. I love that.
And we'll promote it on your podcast.
Please send us all shirts or money on Patreon.
Or just mail weed.
We will
just mail it through the U.S. mail.
We will totally give you as much publicity as possible.
Just throw some of that star leaf in some Tupperware and send it through Amazon.
Send us some nice CBD soaps and maybe some creams. Ooh. Send us.
I'd like a nice salve.
Yeah. I'm a CBD video guy. Self. I'm a video guy.
No,
so
we're looking for weed stuff, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I'm constantly getting tattooed out of like natural lotions and
weed
ointments and unguents. Mail those. But yeah.
Beard oils.
Oh, some beard oil? Yeah, some beard oil to make me chill on doing
hashtag
my work.
Hashtag weed life.
Yeah, or we'll review anything here on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. That was our movie review into movie Starleaf.
Starleaf.
Starcraft.
Before we get into that, Forrest, 4 words.
Oh, my God. I didn't say the 4 words. Yeah. You have to be fucking high.
You have to be. That's like, is that one word?
You have to be. You have. It's
you gotta
hyphens.
Be.
All
gotta
the hyphens.
Be.
We're gonna count it because of the hyphens.
I mean,
be.
We're all high
have
and
to
tipsy, so I mean, we should just allow
have
it.
To.
Yeah, okay.
H-A-F-T-A. All right. just the letter B afterwards. Yeah. Just one word. Have to be
to
high.
Be high.
Fucking high.
All right,
and
John,
fucking's not even a word. It's like a comma.
John.
You can't count
the fucking A. I can't even.
Your 4 words.
My 4 words. Smoke it. Don't watch.
Ooh.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. I agree with you with the smoke it. And don't watch it if you're sober.
No, definitely not. Yeah, roll yourself a joint the size of a flagpole and then watch the movie, and you will just be so excited.
Nope, doesn't help.
Even you could tell even some of the aerial work.
I didn't give it 4 words. So 4 words. fucking great advertisement, bro.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, sell your weed, dude. That was a great, great fucking ad.
It's amazing. It's very brilliant.
Yeah, it's the best hour 15-minute ad I've ever watched.
I'm proud of Richard Kraner. I really am.
Yeah.
I really am.
Kraner.
I'm glad he lives in my country. And
I love you, Richard Kraner.
I support his right to exist and to keep filming. Keep it up, man. The sequel's going to be huge.
If it goes to theaters, I'll go see it.
I will, too.
We'll all go high. We can record. All
right, guys. Well, that was the Darker Side movie review of our review of the movie Starleaf. Excellent. Go out, check it out.
Please.
Give us your opinion, please. For sure.
Probably will be not that great.
Either way. all right. Right now, what we're going to do is we're going to dive deeper into the Darker Side. And John has got a topic for us this week. What do you got for us, Johnny?
I have Glass in the Desert.
Ooh, no way.
Little glass in the desert.
That could happen though with lightning though, John.
It sure could. So let's talk a little bit about what happens when one drops a nuclear bomb in the desert.
I mean, don't we still test?
We've tested multiple times in the desert for sure, yeah.
So 7 years after the nuclear tests at I'm gonna mess this up. I really Alamogordo.
That sounds about right.
Which I believe means Fat Alamo.
Hey, at least you admit it on the record.
Alamogordo, New Mexico. Dr. J. Robert Oppenheimer, the father of the atomic bomb,
was lecturing at a college when a student asked if it was the first atomic test conducted. And Oppenheimer answered yes in modern times.
Which is a very, very weird statement. But, I mean, Oppenheimer was a weirdo, and probably a lot of people at that time just kind of sloshed it off as being German Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's as American as Schnitzel.
I like that.
So, yeah, kind of a weird statement for Oppenheimer. It was actually an allusion to an ancient Hindu text that there's two of them, actually, that describe an apocalyptic catastrophe, which was not a tsunami or an earthquake or a volcanic eruption or a meteor or any other known phenomenon. Oppenheimer was a student of ancient Sanskrit, and he was referring to a passage in the
Bhagavad Gita,
or Mahabharata. It's part of the Mahabharata, which is which is part of the Bhagavad Gita.
Bhagavad Gita.
I wrote it down. It's the words there in Bhagavad Gita.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's like the Bhagavad Gita.
A for effort.
Thank you, Forrest. Forrest is kinder than you, David. So anyway, in this text, which actually is 24,000 years old, it says, and I quote, "A single projectile charged with all the power of the universe, an incandescent column of smoke and flame as bright as 1,000 suns rose in its splendor, a perpendicular explosion with its billowing smoke clouds. The clouds of smoke rising after the first explosion formed into expanding round circles like the opening of giant parasols. It was an unknown weapon. An iron thunderbolt, a gigantic messenger of death, which reduced to ashes the entire race of the Vrishnis and the Andhakas." Which is how that's pronounced.
Andhaka.
The corpse.
That's like a lot like, what is it? And the Anakai or?
The White Hand of Saruman. All right, anyway, nerds.
I want to get it right.
"The corpses were so burned as to be unrecognizable. The hair and nails fell out. Pottery broke without apparent cause, and birds turned white. After a few hours, all the foodstuffs were infected. To escape from this fire, the soldiers threw themselves in streams to wash themselves and their equipment."
That's pretty metal.
It's
very like...
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, very like Middle Eastern metal. Middle Eastern metal. I mean... That's very powerful words. Now, you said 24,000, John. Is that correct?
That's 24,000 years ago. Yeah, it's an ancient Sanskrit. It's an ancient Sanskrit Hindu text.
Wow.
Written language has been around for that long?
Yes.
It's 24,000 years, John.
24,000 years ago. The Tigris and the Euphrates, remember all that action?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this is right around that time.
Mm, interesting. So were they the only... They actually writ this down, or is this later on translated?
This has been translated into English because they did not speak it at the time. Interesting. But Oppenheimer was a student of Sanskrit. Anyway, so skeptics, I get it. It's an ancient religious text. But for a little frame of reference, let's talk for a second about nuclear glass. And for those of you who don't like nerdery, I highly recommend that you walk away.
Yeah, at least like hit pause for about 3 minutes.
Hit pause, maybe smoke a little doobie.
Come back.
Yeah.
Trinitite, also known as atmosite or Alamogordo glass, is the glassy residue left on the desert floor after the plutonium-based Trinity nuclear bomb test on July 16, 1945.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I mentioned Alamogordo, New Mexico. That is where these bombs were exploded and this glass was discovered. It's primarily composed of arkosic sand composed of quartz grains and feldspar, et cetera, and so on and so forth. A little mix of clay, blah, blah, blah. You have clear green glass that was melted by an atomic blast. It is usually light green, although the color can vary. It is mildly radioactive, but safe to handle.
Interesting.
So New Mexico, right?
Yeah, New Mexico. So in 1945, when we started blowing up the nuclear bombs, we discovered that we were creating glass in the desert because we were generating heat of 3,000 degrees.
Wow.
Now, let's move forward. When Oppenheimer touched off the first nuclear bomb and discovered that he made glass, he actually referenced the
Bhagavad Gita, saying
the ancient Hindu text, Sanskrit text.
Yeah, yeah, saying, quote, "I am become death, the destroyer of worlds."
Yeah, which is probably the most famous line.
It is pretty badass. So let's fast forward a little bit, or kind of go sideways. In 1932, there was an explorer, Patrick Clayton, who discovered he drove between the dunes of the Great Sea and the Saad Plateau in Egypt. He started to hear crunching under the wheels of his vehicle. When he examined what was causing the sound, he found that there were great chunks of glass in the sand. He found that there were pieces of glass in the Libyan desert weighing as much as 16 pounds. They were found in an oval area.
Oh, I forgot that Libya is right at the end of It's an African nation. It's not a Middle Eastern. I always forget that. And I got reminded a couple of days ago that Libya is an African nation.
I didn't realize that.
Muammar Gaddafi was an African man.
He sure was. Yeah, so it borders Egypt. So they found this. They found this glass in 1932, and they had no frame of reference. So because of Clayton's tenacity, he had a background in engineering. He was an explorer. He's kind of a Renaissance man. He's a really interesting fellow, which I really enjoy to read more about.
Yeah,
this sort of helped him make connections. So after Oppenheimer blew up the bombs, and after he started to read about that glass, he started to wonder if these chunks of glass he discovered in the desert were actually the product of a nuclear explosion. If it was, he surmised that the blast had to have been 10,000 times more powerful than the one in New Mexico.
Wow.
That is 10,000 times more powerful.
10,000 times.
10,000 times. And
the Trinity bomb was pretty, I mean, it was powerful for its time, obviously, but...
Correct. It's, you know, I don't know its relation into the bombs that were dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but it was pretty damn close.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, once the scientists started to look at this, they started to wonder, you know, what could have caused this? Because clearly this nuclear explosion, we just invented that shit, we're amazing America, yay, wave the flag.
Right. Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions, was there an actual search for this type of glass in other areas?
There was.
Interesting.
Yeah, nice. A chilling vision of things to come.
Yes.
So, one of the things they got to was, clearly, this is not nuclear because they had not developed nuclear bombs 24,000 years ago.
Wow.
So there was a contradictory argument that was released. The glass had formed due to a comet or a hefty meteorite collision. It seems reasonable, but it does have a major flaw. An impact that large would have surely left behind a sizable crater. Right. There is no traces of a crater in that desert.
Interesting.
Nor were there was there discovered any chunks of rock or anything, you know, otherworldly to yield such an impressive result.
Right.
Also, the composition of the glass was 99% pure. Based on its purity, it could not have resulted from a meteorite because of the high iron content that's in a meteor. Mm-hmm. They're super, super loaded with iron. That's how they make it through the atmosphere.
Yeah, and they also hit at a force where they were actually taking the Earth's rocks and pushing them up as well, like in their minerals already that are in the Earth.
Yeah, and if you ever find a meteorite, it's a mixture of iron and whatever it hit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there was a couple other instances that were found. On February 16th, 1947, the New York Herald Tribune ran an article about some unusual archaeological anomalies that had surfaced. Digging had begun in the Babylonian Euphrates Valley, which is current-day Iraq.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Archaeologists uncovered a layer of...
That is actually the what you were talking about.
The Tigris and Euphrates River? Yeah,
basically Eden.
You'd never guess, but I actually looked at a map before I came and did this.
Nice.
I'm awesome. Messing together.
Eden.
So, anyway. So, they had found a layer of agrarian culture that was 8,000 years old. So, agriculture.
Right.
Yep. They then dug deeper, and they found a layer of herdsman culture that was much older. So, you know, nomads, herdsmen. They found still older caveman culture underneath. Under the caveman culture, there was a layer of fused green glass.
Wow.
Whoa,
like what? Wow. Geologically.
Yeah, it should be there. Cavemen.
They can...
And below the caveman.
Yeah, glass. And below the caveman, green glass, here be dragons. So in 1996, they were taking a look at the Egyptian Museum in Cairo. And if you think you still can't discover things that are in a museum, you can. The Italian mineralogist Vincenzo Di Michele spotted an unusual yellow-green gem in the middle of Tutankhamun's necklaces.
I like the rocks, man.
I like the rock. Hey, yeah, give me the pizza pie. I'm sorry.
Babidi boopy.
Babidi boopity. So inside this green gem that was in Tutankhamun's necklace, this jewel was tested and found to be glass.
Green nuclear glass?
Green nuclear glass, intriguingly, it is actually older than the Egyptian civilization.
Wow.
What? How can it be made?
So, you want to know some locations?
Aliens.
Alien bombs.
I would totally believe that, yeah.
Now, I have a question. Was this when... It was well after the dinosaur extinction, correct?
Yeah, only 24,000 years ago was the Bavangila.
I feel like we should be, well, I don't know, our civilization kind of sped we've up
only
really
been,
quickly.
We've only been Homo sapiens. Homo sapiens have only been on for a couple million years at this point.
And they may have been blasted away by nuclear bombs. So if you want to know some locations, because you'd mentioned that, there are dozens of buildings from the ancient world that have bricks with fused rocks, kind of like the modern heat tests.
Right.
There's ancient forts and towers in Scotland, Ireland, and England.
Whoa.
The city of Katal Hayuk in Turkey. I pronounced that wrong.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Alaka in northern Syria. The ruins of the seven cities near Ecuador. And cities between the Ganges River and in India and the hills of Rajmahal.
All of those places are really, really, and during their peaks, were massive places of, like, growth, like, vegetation, very green habitable areas during all of these time periods. That time period, it's, like, along this one type of, like, line across the country, across the world, that was extremely fertile during those time periods.
And there's areas of the Mojave Desert in the United States of America.
Also another place that once was habitable.
One last discovery. In 1844, a guy by the name of Charles Mason discovered the land of Harappa. This is in Pakistan. Since then, scientists have unearthed the ancient city, where evidence shows an atomic blast dating back thousands of years from 8,000 to 12,000 years ago. It destroyed most of the buildings and probably about 500,000 people. And it is claimed that the remains of an entire family was found there, all kneeling and holding hands.
I think I read something about that one city was like highly advanced civilization at that time period too.
It was super advanced. So what's interesting is India tried to build amusement park there, and super controversial anyway. But they tried to build an amusement park there, and it said, and this isn't really backed up, so I didn't want to bring it in, but I'm going to. It said that there was actually so much radiation that they stopped. That people were getting sick. There was birth defects in the area from thousands of year old radiation.
So
wow.
Scientifically, from the perspective of, like, you know, I'm looking at this glass as a mineralogist or whatever, this could only be made through an actual nuclear reaction, is what they're saying, glass.
You have to heat the desert up to such a level as to fuse all the glass together.
Basically the level of the sun in a nuclear explosion, splitting of the atoms. Interesting. That's crazy because then they found it all over the world.
All over the world.
On this level, this time frame where there's pre-any human ancestor.
So whoever the civilization was, they actually did have nuclear war?
Or option B, it was the chariots of the gods.
Yeah, it was, what's his name?
Aliens.
Aliens, dude. Yeah. To bring it back to our Starleaf.
Extraterrestrial.
One last little factoid that I'm gonna bring myself into this. Nice. I bid for a piece of this glass on eBay, and I got drunk, and I lost it at $22.75 because I decided it would be better to go to sleep. I really wanted to be like,
it might have been a boom. It might have been a good call, though, John. I don't know.
Damn.
You could probably always, you know, rebid again for a piece of green glass. Good Lord, man. And that goes back to, I guess, the news story that I did the last episode where this totally... I mean, if you look at it from an ancient aliens perspective, and I'm talking about the show, this is proof that there were civilizations prior to humanity.
Holy
and or
fuck.
creatures on this planet or people about this planet blowing one another up with nuclear technology.
I mean, or it came from the skies.
Mm-hmm.
That's what aliens. I'm saying, though. Like, there were alien civilizations here ruling whoever the people were at that time or whatever creatures they were controlling.
So this
humans.
This actually raises the question that, yeah, if we don't ever go to nuclear war that started by a human being, we could possibly go to nuclear war with aliens?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. If at this point, technologically, anything that comes to this planet would be far beyond nuclear. It would just it would decimate us. Well, that's a horrible word because decimate is a...
It hasn't happened yet, word. So they still need us for something.
Right.
Yeah, I think if there are aliens out there, which I know there is, they're smart creatures. There's probably a reason why they haven't blown us the F up.
Yeah, because they want to figure out how to perfectly either mine everything that we have or...
Have you heard about the theory that they started aliens when they mixed two species together?
Hybrids,
correct.
I've seen some like screwed up videos of like weird looking fish.
They developed us as humans as a slave race. And what happened is they left and now we've bred out of control.
The Stargate
and are
theory.
Destroying ourselves.
That's the Stargate theory.
Yeah.
Basically. Power,
love it.
That we were a slave population. You know,
we're just a tank of mice on somebody's bookshelf.
Pretty much.
Oh my God. Well, that leads a lot of like, it could lead you down a lot of weird different paths. But I mean, if you're finding this glass at historical levels, you know, within the earth, granted, the dinosaurs were buried by, you know, whatever, by scientists to, you know, fool the whatever. But I think that, you know, I mean, there's nothing like a nuclear explosion.
No. And I'll bring you back to this one. The cloud of smoke rising after its first explosion formed into expanding round circles like the opening of giant parasols. It was an unknown weapon, an iron thunderbolt, a gigantic messenger of death.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I mean, because of what's been going on between us and North Korea since last year with talks with who's been saying what, like President saying we're going to decimate them and kill them all on live TV. I mean, I've been a lot more, paranoid for nuclear war than ever.
Yeah, well, it's always if there's nuclear bombs, it's on the table. So
it's a real possibility. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's always on the table. But that's the thing. It's
sleep
like,
well, children.
Yeah. So the thing is we have to live our lives and not worry about stupid bullshit like that.
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon.
No. Every generation parents' generation have been worrying about it. So
Ronald Reagan said every generation believes theirs is the last.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the truth. John, thank you very much. I think there was another part of this poem that really talked about the way they burned.
Yeah. Their hair and nails fell out, pottery broke, the birds turned white. After a few hours, all the foodstuffs were infected.
Yeah, and their fingernails fell off. That's radiation poisoning. Yeah.
Their hair and nails fell out.
So even if you survive...
That is all a description of literal nuclear explosion and then the fallout, which is the radiation poisoning and everything else.
That happened to a young couple in the 70s, I believe.
Wow.
Radiation poisoning.
Mm.
There's the topic we could discuss are the radiation girls. You ever hear of those girls?
Oh,
the
my
people
God.
Who worked on the Timex, painted the Timex clocks.
Oh, yeah, they put the luminous
the iridium
stuff
girls.
On the
yeah,
watches.
The,
you
the
guys
iridium.
Want to do that next week? We should do
that.
Well,
that would be a
week.
Cool topic to discuss, absolutely. John, thank you very much for that topic. Anything else in there? No?
That's it, man.
Cool.
Very interesting. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, that's a great topic. I mean, it really does open up a lot of avenues to think about why is that stuff here on this planet and why is it geologically in that area, for
sure. I mean, can I at least say I want to thank you so much for sharing this story? And this just makes me think the more I hear about stuff like this, Jim Carrey makes more sense. I'm sorry I had to say it, but he's right.
For sure.
We all matter.
All right, guys, we're going to get into the next segment, and this is the segment where we get lost in the forest.
Lost in the forest.
Forest, what do you got for us today?
Let's see here. So I just want to point out before I start reading and rambling on like a motherfucker. that the government not long ago has just legalized hemp through Congress. And do you know what their approval rating is in Congress? It's extremely low. So just keep that in mind when I'm telling you the story. It's by Jason Lemire. I think he's French, maybe. I got it from, I believe, Newsweek. The author of a book claiming that the Holocaust was orchestrated by gay men who ran the Nazi party will appear on a Massachusetts gubernatorial primary ballot later this year after garnering enough support at the Republican Party's state convention last week.
Yeah. That's an interesting ticket to run on.
Yeah.
The gay Nazi ticket.
This is why it's important to sign up to vote. Very important. Yeah. And well, find out where the
just,
fuck you vote.
At least it's just a primary race against Charlie. Good old Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie Baker.
Yeah. Who is, oh, really? Who is also a Republican. Yeah, mm-hmm. This is just a runoff race for them to go against him in the primary.
Baker will probably win.
But most we'll likely. Mm-hmm. And then there will be another candidate on the other side from the Democratic Party.
Diving a little bit further into the story, Lively wrote a 1995 book titled The Pink Swastika, in which he asserted that the Nazi Party that took power in Germany in the 1930s was controlled by militaristic homosexuals who inspired the number of about 6 million European Jews.
Yeah. Homosexuals.
It's so ludicrous to think that a man... I would love to read the book just to figure out where his brain is coming from. In that
oh my God, we should do like a little reading circle. Oh, I will buy it and read it to the Patreon subscribers.
Yeah.
I will read a chapter a week to anybody that donates money to this podcast.
If they want if they want us to read it, then we can continue on our other episodes to read some of these.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Some of these pages of
interesting
the book.
Thing to think about. All right, so
The Holocaust also saw the persecution of a number of other groups, including homosexuals, which they killed homosexuals.
Yeah, lots and lots of them, but he also believes that never happened. He's a denier of it all.
The thing is, though, is how do they find out they're homosexual in this time frame? In this...
Pretty easy.
Put the dick down!
Yeah, dude, I mean, it's pretty easy, dude.
Do they pretty much, like, rape them themselves?
No,
and then
they
see
just...
if they get hard?
They just knew. There were circles. They obviously... These people, I mean, they had their circles, they had their areas.
His answer honestly sounds a little more like Hitlerific than yours. Yeah, like,
okay. I'm sorry, but it's so fucking contradictory.
Rape him and see if he enjoys it.
Oh, God.
We're in this world of hypocrisy, and it's insane.
All right.
Lively's claim have been roundly debunked by historians.
Which is true, because, I mean, any historian would call this man a quack in regards historians. To what he's saying. For sure.
But the controversy surrounding Lively does not end there. He is the founder of an anti-LGBT group, Abiding Truth Ministries, which is listed as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Hey, you don't want to get on their list.
I mean, our
you really don't.
Our president doesn't condemn them. So
I cashed a bad check at the Walmart in Lafayette, Louisiana, and I believe that I made it onto the Southern Poverty Law Center's list.
My God, they are technically a terrorist group. Technically, he is also staunchly anti-abortion. Rachel would have loved to hear that.
Yeah.
On his campaign website, Lively say that abortion is the intentional killing of a living human being and should be punishable by law.
Yeah, for sure. Just like those abortions made Toys R Us go away. So.
It did.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lively just wants to protect Toys R Us.
Millennial right. abortions.
Yeah. Well, hashtag millennial abortions.
Good Lord.
Okay. So this terrifies me. I don't know about you guys, but this fucking terrifies me. You know?
No, I saw David Duke run for president in the 80s, man. No worries. He was part of the KKK. He didn't get
Ted
in.
Ted Nugent. Those fucking guys. I just...
Nugent.
Nugget, whatever the fuck, however the hell you say his name. I don't care. He's an idiot. He's mental. I am not sure about any of you guys, but this seriously terrifies me. A few weeks back, I saw an article about this wingnut, intolerant fool, and thought nothing would come of it. And now I see this fuckhead actually is going to be on the ballot. Like, that's upsetting. I read, like, literally, like, 2.5 weeks ago that he might. Like, he has, yeah, he has the potential.
Yeah.
He has the support from whatever, the alt-right or whatever group supports him. I don't care. I don't want to know. But, like, I mean, that's just bullshit. This is some crazy shit. I'm extremely disappointed with the Americans who have allowed for this type of politician to ever get this far.
I just love that you called him a wingnut. Yeah. I just can't get over it.
It's so apt.
Yeah. It's so apt. Yeah. Massachusetts, don't vote for this idiot. Yeah. Just
please don't. I mean, I respect Republicans. Just don't vote for this guy, please. That's all I ask. These types of braggadocious, chest pumping, Bible thumping, and probably deeply closeted candidates who are, you know, sucking all these 15-year-old boys in hotels are showing up in these political arenas all across this nation and are being fueled by the ultra-conservative alt-right movements that are associating with what seems to be the new Republican Party platform.
Yeah.
I think it's so sad that in a country like ours that there are movements and politicians that associate with them that believe in extreme old socialistic values that calls for the removal and sometimes death of millions of minorities in America. These hostiles will hide behind their religion and say it's the will of God and wouldn't think twice about persecuting a person for who they love, what color they were, and from what foreign nation they were from. I'm concerned because it seems the Republican Party isn't doing much to stop these people from tainting their party even further than what Trump had done with it already, including the GOP in Congress. So I lay the blame with them and also with the mainstream media who failed to shed a bigger light on these movements as they blossomed and grew like weeds leading up to the election, like the alt-right gangs in Orange County, California, the Charlottesville incident, and all the way up to this Massachusetts gubernatorial race. I know plenty of Americans, including myself, that don't feel safe to go to a club, a movie, a fucking restaurant with a date or with their husband or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, or even school for fear of having to deal and possibly be harmed by this growing movement of hate and intolerance. And not just that, I mean gun violence too.
Yeah, I hate
to bring that in.
Yeah, we don't have to really.
We all bleed red, and we all turn into dust when we go. There is no reason for all this hate. What do you guys think? Is this alt-right movement scary? Do you guys feel it's getting bigger and stronger? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I do. Silently, I think it's getting stronger. It's
getting more prevalent in the face of itself.
I mean, how far can you go before you end up going batshit crazy?
If I was at all in any party, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, goat party, I don't care.
Goat party.
I honestly wouldn't even, like, how do you dignify that with a response? Like, it's like when your friend's kid just, like, starts yelling at you. You're like, I'm not going to yell back. I'm not going to dignify that with a response. I'm just going to move on with my life and pretend like that didn't happen. Exactly. And I feel like that's kind of what you need to do with this this gay Nazi movement. Forrest, do not be scared of these people.
Yeah. Oh, I won't.
They're cowards, Donnie.
No, Cowards, Johnny. I personally, I mean, I'm a big camper. I love camping out in the mountains. I have a hunter's knife. And now I bring it everywhere I go.
Nice.
It's legal. It's as big as my hand. It's totally legal. And
yeah, just always be safe, for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We'll teach you how to shoot a 45.
Yeah, there's a lot of chest thumping.
I just want to say
a lot of hiding behind things.
Oh my god! I just want to say peace and love to everyone, and peace and love.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it, guys. Peace and love.
The gay Nazis did not do it.
We're all skeletons. Doesn't matter.
Like you said, we all bleed red, and we all turn to dust when we're all gone.
Carl Sagan said, "The nitrogen in our DNA, the calcium in our teeth, the iron in our blood, the carbon in our apple pies were made in the interiors of collapsing stars. We are all made of star stuff."
Yeah. It doesn't matter what color, race, creed, anything.
I love it.
Just be tolerant, sons of bitches. Yeah.
Love each other, you assholes.
We love you. We love you, so please just love everyone,
love
man.
You.
Nice one, Forrest. Thank you.
Thank you.
High five, man.
Air five, Dave.
All right, guys. Well, that is the Darker Side podcast for today. I am David Pottle. You can find me on Facebook. You can find my band, Frenemy Providence, on Facebook. And guys, please like and subscribe to and rate this podcast on whatever podcast platform that you are listening to.
Please do.
I greatly appreciate it. Rachel is unfortunately not here for the outro. She had to leave suddenly. And you can find her on her, I think, Snapchat.
Yep.
And on Facebook, that's Rachel Pottle, P-O-T-T-L-E. Forrest, what do you got?
I am with Forrest Films with two R's. You can find me everywhere, Facebook, all that good jazz. You can find our horror podcast page on Instagram, Twitter, our main page on Facebook, Podbean, Google Play Music, iTunes Podcast, Podbean. You guys can even listen to us now on Patreon. We're doing uploads almost weekly. We're doing uploads of all of our episodes, so you guys can listen to them on our Patreon too. All that great stuff. I would like to thank everybody here. I'd like to thank all the viewers. I love you all, and I hope you guys have a wonderful week or weekend, whatever time frame it is when we produce this podcast. Thank you.
Jenny.
What's up, dude? I'm Herman Brow at...
Herman Brow?
Herman Brow. HERRMANBRAU. The German word for beer. I'm at Instagram. Send me pictures of stuff that just makes you so happy you don't even know what to do with yourself. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And keep them coming. Keep them coming, my friends.
I'll send you a dick pic. No, perfect. I'm kidding.
We call him Richard. He's a nice fellow.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool dude.
If John hears this, he's gonna.
We love Richard.
He's gonna kill me.
Now, thank you, everybody. This was the Darker Side Podcast.
Thank you.
The Darker Side Podcast. The Darker Side.